Welcome to Season 15 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go! Welcome back to the season finale of Season 15. And if you couldn't tell from the sound of my voice, I'm a little giddy because it's a big finale. This week's featured conversation includes not one, but two incredible leaders. Jay Wright is the head basketball coach at Villanova, and he's won two of the last three national championships. Judd Linville is the CEO of Citi Global Cards, the world's largest credit card issuer. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I got the opportunity to fly to New York and interview these two great men in person. And as someone who believes they were put on this earth to help other people become better leaders, and to just preach from the mountaintops the importance of leadership in life, it was a big-time personal highlight. Not only did I learn a lot from them, as you will in the interview, but I learned an important lesson since I was in the room. And I was only going to share this on our weekly LinkedIn video, but I just decided to change my mind. The moment was simple. Judd was answering a question, and he told used a quote that his boss used to tell him, and it was from Napoleon. And the quote was simple: a leader's job is to define reality and deliver hope. And I never heard it, so I loved it as well. And at the end of the interview, we had finished recording the podcast, and Jay Wright looked at Judd, grabbed a piece of paper, and he said, "Judd, will you repeat that quote for me? I want to remember it and use it." Now, I don't know if he did this just because he knew he wasn't going to listen to this podcast. I hope not. But he didn't want to forget it. And I tell you this because if a two-time national championship head coach is still a student, I'm really glad you are as well. Look, he has every right, because of his success, to think he knows it all, but he doesn't. He is a student of leadership in life just like the rest of us. So I'm here today to tell you that the work that you are putting in to develop your leadership skills and life skills matter. The work that you are putting in to develop your leadership skills and life skills matter. And keep doing it just like Coach Jay Wright is doing it. So without further hesitation, here is my interesting conversation with Jay Wright and Judd Linville. Just a quick word from our sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by LearnLoft.com. And you're probably thinking, John, it's not the company you're the CEO of. It is. But without the help and the support of our team, this podcast does not happen. Learn more at LearnLoft.com. We're also brought to you by the American National Standards Institute. You know how important I think standards are to the leadership. Standards make the world go round. They also dictate what is round. The American National Standards Institute wants to teach you all about them. Visit blog.ansi.org/pod to learn how standards relate to you.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for being on the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
What most people don't know about you, Jay, is your first 3 years at Villanova, you went to three not NCAA tournaments, you went to three NITs. Mm-hmm. And 13 years later, you've now won two titles in 3 years. The same with you. I mean, your career took longer than you maybe anticipated. How do you guys both think about patience in terms of leadership and how you felt maybe those first 3 years leading a team or a new program and how you felt early in your career as to where you are today?
Thanks, Judd. I'll start with the fact that for some reason I was blessed with the enjoyment of every part of the process. You know, I know there was desire to be a head coach in me, and probably I was a little antsy. I remember my first job was assistant coach at University of Rochester, which is Division III, which is the lowest level you can be, and then you're an assistant. And I remember after my first year, the head job opened at Ursinus in Philadelphia, and I told my head coach, I said, I'm ready. I'm ready for that job. And he said, slow down, slow down. So there was a desire, but there was also an enjoyment of every part of the process, you know. And even in when we got to Villanova, even early, the failures early, I did enjoy the challenge. You know, I don't know if it could teach that to somebody, but I enjoyed every part of that process. And now I realize that was probably the most important experiences I went through.
And I'd say, John, that I'm a big believer that, you know, being purposeful in life and in business is one of the most important things you can do. So setting that North Star, kind of where you're headed, getting people to collectively support that vision takes time. To Jay's point about process, I think the other part of it is how you build the routines, how you build habits. That becomes an essential piece of kind of, and that takes time. I worked for a leader who I think he used to quote Napoleon, but he claimed it as his own, and said a leader's job is to define reality and deliver hope. And so a large part is making sure everybody sees where you are in that process and that you're seeing the world as it is, not as you want it to be. But at the same time, creating that hope about the momentum you're creating, that takes time. That's fun.
It's funny how you live in almost a quarterly world, right? I mean, it's quarter. What have you done for me lately? Jay, they just won a title. And what's going to be this year, right? It's what have you done for me? How hard is it to keep that perspective in your employees and in your players?
So a quick one for me. I will tell you that one of my favorite quotes from a board member of a place I used to work at said, you know, if you think about it, our job is to have our nose to the grindstone and eyes on the horizon. And so to me, it's that combination of seeing, okay, I see the horizon, I'm getting closer. But half the fun is producing results on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, a quarterly basis, and making that fun for everybody to see, you know, very tangible evidence of your hard work. Some of this stuff is, you know, highly conceptual, takes a long time, building mobile apps. But, man, if you can celebrate those near-term wins and always keep focus on here's where we're going to be 2 years out, here's where we're going to be 3 years out.
That's interesting to me because probably no one's business would be more definable in terms of numbers than Judd's, right? So even if he can look at it that way, for us it's wins and losses usually, right? And for us it's enjoying the challenges every day. And one of the things we say to our guys before every game is, you know, what do we control, right? We control going into this game. We control our effort, our attitude for the next 40 minutes. And at the end, you know, the test and our grade will be determined, right? We don't know what that's going to be at the end, but we can control every play, every possession, how we compete. And we try to, you know, we're working with college kids that we get to teach about life. And, you know, we say that to them about life. It's the same thing every day. Just put your best effort in every day. Enjoy that process every day. And your destiny will be determined, right? Don't put your focus on what your destiny is, right? We don't have a lot of goals. We really don't. It's more about our commitment to our core values every day. So to hear Judd say that when you know that numbers are in, it just confirms for me ours is even more so that important to concentrate on your commitment of your core values every day.
And I'll tell you, Coach, I know that you're a big believer in habits and process. You know, building those in, those routines in, so that everybody celebrates the routines and makes that something that, in fact, they believe will make them stronger. And part of its internal routines is certainly in our business, and I imagine coaching to some extent as well, it's also having just an external view constantly and constantly bringing that external view in as to here's what you see other people doing, here's what you see as trends, because you also want to make everybody constantly not only feel like, man, they've got it nailed, but they have to be agile to be able to move quickly if something changes on them.
Well, I define a habit as something that you do so often it becomes the very essence of your being. What are those things that you guys do that make you successful leaders in the college basketball world or in the business world?
Well, I know we're doing this to work on this, but I'm learning here, and I like it because it's very similar to what Judge is saying about habits. We have a hallway where you walk down to our practice court. And if you go into our practice court, there's no Final Four NCAA banners. There's no NBA jerseys in there. There's just it's very plain. And the purpose of that is we don't want our guys in there looking at, you know, am I going to be a pro? You know, am I living up to the standards of a national championship team? Are we going to win? And come in there to go to work every day and commit to our core values. But the hallway that you walk down to go onto that court, we have certain thoughts that we want them to have before they go to work. And one of our, the last thing you see on the left side before you walk in, it says, we practice to create habits that will enable us to be successful in the most difficult situations. So everything we do in practice is set up so that if you're on the first team, on the scoreboard, you're the visitor. The first team wears dark jerseys as if we're on the road. So we're always looking at what are going to be our most difficult situations playing on the road in a tough environment against the best teams, not the lower teams on our schedule. And are our habits going to make us successful in those situations? And that's something that every day as coaches and leaders, we have to hold our team accountable, but we have to be disciplined enough to be focused on that and not maybe what we look like that day, but are we creating those habits?
You know, I'll tell you, in our business, there is clearly, there are team habits. I also think there are individual leadership habits that you look to create. On the team side, I can remember when I first got here, in just about every meeting, people were on their BlackBerries in meetings, not making eye contact. And I'm a big believer in the power of one and how you kind of create. There's just one team. We globally had a loose federation of banks that didn't really operate together. And we're a global institution. It's one of the greatest things we've got. Nobody else had this footprint. If we acted as one, we'd be strong. So a bunch of, and I'm a big believer, you set principles. Rules are not good. You want principles because you don't want everybody trying to figure out the rule. They want to understand the principle so they can always go back to a principle. So we basically say, okay, so in principle, we want to stay connected. We want everybody to be present. What's that mean? Probably shouldn't be using your BlackBerry. Soon BlackBerries kind of went down below the desk. We kept going back to the principle about being present. Guess what? All of a sudden, and people would say, yeah, but I used to work for a trader, and I was told I had to respond in 5 minutes. I said, that's not the business you work in. That's not how we as a team operate. You can choose to do that, but the principle is everybody needs to be present. Individual leadership behaviors, those are things that, in my mind, that you know are predictable patterns that, one, make you stronger, and that also your team sees, because the best leaders set that sense of purpose, and they're predictable. Teams need their leaders to be predictable. And so for me, whether it's they know when they're going to see emails coming in from me, but I also have principles in place where I've got a long commute down to Princeton. If I'm in that car for an hour and a half, only 50% of the time will I spend responding to emails. The other 50, I'm using that time to think about stuff that's going on that side, or to direct what's going to happen that day, that next week. So actually using that time to be kind of forceful on pushing things forward as opposed to simply responding to things. My team sees that, guess what? We shouldn't be all stuck to our emails.
It's an interesting habit. And today's connected world, it's difficult. I mean, and how about social media for your players? I mean, these are difficult times to lead, in your case, young people. And in your case, a workforce that's connected all the time. How do you think about leading in that way? And what's your responsibility as of trying to create the best version of the people on your team?
In terms of social media, it's a big issue in college life, right? In college basketball. But it's also a powerful tool. It doesn't have to be a negative. It's an entity that's out there.
It's a tool,
right? And it is. It's a tool, but it's also an issue. Just as Judd said, it's an issue in a meeting, right? So, your overlying values have to have an impact on how you deal with social media. There's parts of it where, if we think about when we were in college, we can tell everything they're doing and everything the players are thinking because they're always on it. So, you know, a lot of times I'll check if I see 11 o'clock at night that, first of all, we have an assistant coach that is on every player and following. We've got compliance issues we got to keep an eye on. But if I see someone is on, on Twitter at 12 o'clock at night, it just gives me a good way to understand, all right, maybe he's not disciplined enough that he's getting good.
The habits.
Yeah.
The habits.
And so in that sense, it can be helpful to us. But overall, it's got to be a sense that like everything you do counts. So everything you do represents Villanova. It represents you. So that's a part of it now. That's a big part of our lives. And how you use social media speaks a lot about you as a person. And we educate the guys about that. And just think about how you use it and what that says about you.
It's fascinating to hear you describe that, Coach, because in some respects, your team is the product. And I don't think about social media and concerns about that internally. I'm obsessive about it externally, because if you think about how you build a brand, it's one part promises, one part experiences, and one part word of mouth. In today's world, social media, what your customers say about you, builds your brand. So we spend a lot of time building mobile apps that are just absolutely give you speed to purpose. Our new ad campaign, if you see it, it's all about spending more moments in the moment, because so many apps pull you in and want to draw you in. And the whole point of what we're building is to kind of make banking so easy that you got a bank in your palm. So for me, this is more about how do we build the right set of experiences, product, and frankly, our brand.
It's interesting. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about talent with you two. You're known for being one of the best recruiters in the country. When you started here at City, you told all of your employees that we're going to bring in new talent. You all have jobs, but we're going to bring in new talent. How much do you think about talent and them fitting the culture that you're trying to have at City or at Villanova? Are there certain characteristics that you're looking for in people to ensure they're going to fit the program that you're trying to create?
So I will tell you, I am obsessive about talent. I care deeply about people's intellectual curiosity. I care deeply about their grit. I ask more questions about grit. It may not come out that way, but that's what I'm asking. And then it's about character. So to me, it's intensely important. When I came here, the other piece that was important is I knew that I was going to have to rebuild a team. And I'm a big believer that leaders of consequence are very clear the shadow they cast, because you want to cast a shadow that creates followership. And so being able to pull folks from my previous employer and quickly and land them here, that was kind of the first step. The next step was then building the team up from inside out. And so that there's phases you go through depending on kind of where you are in the turnaround.
That's a big part of what we do also. And it's probably more publicized, college basketball recruiting.
Like, right.
It's almost become a season unto itself. You know, our alumni want to follow in the off season. They want to follow recruiting. Those wins are almost as important to them, and it's ego.
As
you
the
know?
Season.
And we have to be careful because we have a unique culture. You know, and we have to make sure. You know, the two characteristics that we know fit our culture after the certain level of basketball and athleticism, right? There's a lot of those guys out there. So you have to identify those. And then which ones of those do you pick? And for us, we look for competitiveness and character, because and it's probably the same. It's like grit, you know. We want guys that want to come in and compete, that want to get better. But we also want them to have the character to understand how they're going to handle some failures. Are they going to have a great attitude that we preach? How are they going to handle success? Are they going to have a humility and a hunger to continue to get better? And one of the things that I made a mistake on, I made a number of mistakes, but in recruiting, which is most important, because in college, once you get them, we preach family. So once you get them, if we're family, then they're ours. You know, we got to teach them. They don't have to be perfect in terms of their competitiveness and character. They don't have to be perfect, but they have to have it. And if they have it, it's our job to really make it flourish, right?
Yeah.
But if they don't have it, I used to think I could save the world. I used to think I'll teach them. Those two things, they got to have a little bit of it. You can pull it out and grow it. But if they don't have it at all, it's hard to give it to them in a competitive situation.
Tough thing to teach.
Yeah.
You mentioned culture a few times, and you talk about how important it is in your basketball program. Why is culture so important to your success, business and basketball? I mean, I've always thought of leaders produce the culture. Culture produces the results. Produce the behaviors. The behaviors produce the results. Yeah. Why do you put such an intense focus on culture with your program?
I can't wait to hear Judd's answer, because I always this is why I love to meet people like Judd, because I feel like business is the most competitive and difficult situation to keep culture, because it's so numbers and bottom line oriented. College basketball is getting that way. You know, I got into coaching because it wasn't that way. It was, you were an educator, right? But it's gotten to be such big business, and, you know, I've benefited from it. I'm not complaining, but I wanted to make sure that it's still educational, right? So our culture is so unique in that we still graduate every player. Every four-year player has graduated on time. We still want our guys, our goal with our players is to be the best student, the best player, and the best person they can be when they graduate. So that's our goal. So that culture is so unique. What I've found, and another reason that it's so important, is that our best chance of being successful on the court is to have the strongest Villanova culture we can have. We're not going to out Kentucky. We're not going to out Duke. But what we found over the last few years is when we really just focused on, let's be the best Villanova we can be, that's going to give us, it's going to give us the confidence, it's going to give us the security, the fulfillment as human beings that we want, right? And it also gives us the best chance of success. We might not be successful wins and losses all the time, but we're going to feel good about who we are and what we do, and that's really what's most important.
So I just heard Coach say that Villanova outnoved everybody. that's the way I look at it. That was pretty impressive to watch, as well as to graduate every single player is pretty exceptional. So what Coach talked about, culture is what drives outcomes. We're in the business of outcomes, and if you think about a global institution that has 210,000 employees, there's no way you can direct everybody to behave in a certain way if you don't build a strong culture. We joke all the time that culture eats strategy for breakfast. Now, you know, people can come up with all kinds of great strategies. If you don't have those kind of reinforcing mechanisms where people understand the principle at work and what is valued and what our brand stands for, man, oh man, you can go whipsaw back and forth. But when you build that in, it's a natural checking reflex from things that might be bad behaviors, a natural reflex from something that's kind of off strategy, and it's self-reinforcing because other people catch each other kind of saying, hey, you know, is that consistent with what we want to be? So to me, it is one of the most important things to focus on. And again, as a leader, building that with a sense of purpose and building it with predictability and routines, then it becomes so self-reinforcing. And frankly, it's something that lasts.
Yeah. You both done a really good job of creating more leaders, not necessarily more followers. And I think it's been widely noted that that's what the best leaders do. But I think this is an interesting topic, because it's got to be difficult when you run your business to think about promoting a top performer out of your business unit where they've been doing incredible work. Coach K, I think, has 20 former assistant coaches that are now head coaches. I mean, just think of the impact that man's had, not only on his players, but on all of those players that have gone through those coaches. How do you think about talent development and creating more leaders? What are some of the things that you guys put into practice to make that a reality?
I'll tell you, in a business, there's a natural instinct for leaders to want to hold on to their best producers, because they don't graduate every 4 years. And we spend a lot of time talking about how we build a culture that, in fact, people want to stay here, they want to grow. But if you're not pushing your best high potential talent to operate on the edges of their ignorance, all with safety nets, you're not really developing them. And there's no way if you keep people in the same job working for you. So I'm a big believer. You get people to move on, and frankly, it's the best way to build a network of belief that then helps reinforce the culture. And by the way, they always know they can come home again. So to me, that, you know, it kind of is a self-reinforcing piece of the culture.
You know, that's something you could spend. We could have just right, this yeah. topic yeah. Is for leaders is so important. And I've actually talked to Coach K about it because it's recruiting against your own guys, because your guys go out and they're recreating your culture. So it's and now when you're recruiting, the guys you're going against, they know you. So when it gets competitive, whatever they say about you is probably true. And it's a really unique situation in our business. I would talk to Judd about this for hours, but there's a real fine balance of continuing your culture with continuity on your staff and with your players. Mm. You know, for instance, this year, the strength of our program over the last 5 years is we can work out in the summer. I've gone into practice knowing we've got 4 or 5 guys that get our culture, and we have a triangle. And it's play hard, play together, play smart, play with pride. The pride part at the top is that once you get where you are, you realize why you got there, and you take pride in passing that on to the younger guys. So we always had the older guys passing it on to the younger guys, and it kept our culture strong. Well, those guys are
gone.
They're all going, and some of the younger guys have gone too. And I can see in practice this summer, it's not there as much, right? But then you also need it from your coaches. And we've had a couple of our guys go on now to be head coaches the last 2 years. We've lost 2 guys to be head coaches. So the staff's young, the players are young, and you see that the difference
manifests itself
in the strength. But all the other people around that aren't we have a saying, everyone's role is different, but status is the same. The trainers, the secretaries, the graduate assistant, like all that, that culture is still there. So you see the importance of them even more.
So Jay, it's fascinating to hear you talk about, because one part, it's paying it forward for the next generation, but other people see all of that talent that emerges on a national scene that got built in your program. And when I was talking about followership, I mean, I think that's probably one of the best recruiting tools you can imagine. Yeah. When people look and say, man, look at all these people that are a legacy of this program.
You're right. That's the balance. You know, you have to have that. You know, in basketball, you can look at Kentucky. They all come in. But then you also have to have some continuity there that keeps your culture strong, too. It's a unique balance. You know, to hear Judd say, you know, you want, you know, as a leader, I love having my assistants there for a while, but then I know if they're there too long, they get a little stale. They need to push themselves too, and you need to push them as a leader. And it's a fine balance. You're never perfect at it, but you're always evaluating yourself.
Yeah.
Or am I doing a good job of that?
Well, let's end on some fun stuff. I know we're running up against the clock here. What's the single most important attribute of a leader to you?
I'd say caring. I'm a big believer that the best leaders listen hard, they talk straight, but they show they care. And it's funny how many leaders don't think that last piece is important. It's probably the most important piece.
Yeah, I think that if I had to pick a word, I would say authenticity. You know, you have to be authentic. You know, and so we're all talking about culture. You know, we can build it and we can preach it, but if Judd and I don't, if we don't live it, you know, then you live with these people. They know, you know, and I try to tell our young guys when they're assistant coaches and they go on to be head coaches, you're not going to be perfect. Don't go in there and try, and don't try to be me. I tried to be Rolly Massimino. I worked for him, and it didn't work for my first couple of years. I figured out after a couple of years, like, I can't do this stuff like he does, you know. But just you got to be authentic, and a big part of that, obviously, is caring. If you're going to talk about your culture and you're going to talk about what we're going to be as a team and a family, then you better care, and your people know if you're not authentic.
I define leadership this way: someone whose actions inspire, empower, and serve others to produce an improved state over an extended period of time. How do you define leadership, or how would you add to that?
So the word that I heard most powerfully was serve. And I'm a big believer that leaders have to know that their job is to serve their teams, and their teams work in my business on behalf of customers. And when you do that, you create such intense loyalty that you don't have to worry about the shareholder quarterly results. And so we still refer to it as the service profit chain. You know, if engaged employees, truly engaged employees who care about customers and delivering for customers, then in fact that last constituent or stakeholder, the shareholder, gets taken care of. And so to me, it's all about that servant leader who in fact knows they work on behalf of their teams.
I like that. That's good stuff. And I like you. I like yours. I'm stealing all this stuff. But, I think it all goes together. I think one of the things that we have, you have a chance as a leader, you have a chance to build a culture and teach and nurture how we're going to live together, right? So even if with social media now and everything, as the leader, we're going to pick people and build a culture, not just talk about how we're going to work together. It's how we're going to work together, but it's how we're going to live as individuals. Because now everything we do represents Villanova, Citibank. If you're off campus and you're not working, but you're tweeting something crazy, you represent your employer, you know? So that culture that we as leaders, we get to bring in people and teach how are we going to live, right? And that's so powerful, and it's a great responsibility.
Well, you both are incredible leaders. Not only just – I know people fall in love with the championships and the quarterly results on the earnings statement, but the fact that you both are in your positions and you care so deeply about people is something that all leaders should learn from. So thank you for what you do and the impact you make on the world. We appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for joining us on another week of the show. If you like this, do me a favor and share it with a colleague or a friend, or leave a comment, review, and recommendation wherever you listen to podcasts. Anything that would help us spread the message of leadership, it would mean a great deal to me in my heart. Until next time, be a good leader at work and at home.